Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the First Cut Podcast. Thanks once again for making us a part of your day. If you don't recognize my voice, my name is Carson Cunningham, filling the shoes of Chip Patterson and company on the First Cut Podcast. But Kyle Porter, as always, is joining us on the podcast. And Kyle, how's your day going so far?
It's great, Carson. For people that don't know, you and I do a little Oklahoma State podcast on the side, and we're going to give this a whirl. We're going to talk some golf. We're going to get into a couple different things. So how do you feel about getting into the golf side of things in terms of podcasting?
I love it. I'm very into golf. I follow it on my own. I follow it for a living. You know, we cover a lot of golf in Oklahoma. For people who don't know, I'm a ABC sportscaster in the Oklahoma City market. And we obviously have Oklahoma State golf, which you and I like to talk about quite a bit. We'll try to hold off our swinging Pete takes for this podcast. But no, it's obviously I'm into golf. I cover it. I got to go cover the Masters last year because Victor Hovland was in it as an amateur. So no, I'm deep into the golf world. So it's good to hop on the First Cut Podcast. I'm a longtime listener, first time host, but I appreciate you having me on.
That's pretty good. Have you been thinking about that one for a while, or is that off the cuff?
That was off the cuff.
That's pretty solid.
We do have some stuff to get to in the world of golf. The Hero World Challenge announced their field. There is no Jordan Spieth, but the Hero World Challenge field is as follows: Dustin Johnson, Justin Rose, Justin Thomas, John Rahm, Patrick Cantlay, Tiger Woods, Xander Schauffele, Bryson DeChambeau, Tony Finau, Webb Simpson, Patrick Reed, Gary Woodland, Ricky Fowler, Matt Kuchar, Bubba Watson, and Kevin Kisner. And two exemptions will be announced at a later date to round out the 18-player field, Kyle. So a lot of Americans, just two Europeans. What was your take on the Hero World Challenge field being announced?
Yeah, I think the first thing that stands out is just no Spieth. You know, I think we think about Spieth as being like the anchor for all this, you know, kind of global stuff as it relates to, and this is very much like, it looks like the President's Cup team, right? It looks like a Ryder Cup team. And so for Spieth not to be there, it's kind of weird. And I think it's just a reminder of like, oh yeah, Jordan Spieth's like 38th in the world, right? Like he's not number five anymore. He's not even number 10 anymore. And I think it's just yet another reminder of that reality. So who knows? Maybe he'll be one of the two guys that Tiger ends up picking. But yeah, this is like the week before the President's Cup too. So it's very much a, I guess we're taking the team plane over to Australia the following week to play in the President's Cup. But yeah, the no Spieth thing kind of stood out to me.
Don't you think Jordan would like to play in this just to, as kind of a mini audition? I know it's the Hero World Challenge. It's not like a legit audition for the President's Cup, but don't you think he would like to be out there playing with Tiger to try to make his case?
Well, they will have already picked it. I mean, Tiger will have already made the selection before then, but if he is one of the guys selected, then, yeah, I mean, like even to like get in the lineup, right? I think that's a big deal for somebody for a team, especially that's headed to the President's Cup.
Where do we stand with Jordan Spieth? Obviously, you mentioned his world ranking. He's clearly not hitting the ball. His ball striking has clearly waned, and his putting hasn't been able to save his rounds. Just where do we stand with Jordan Spieth? How concerned should the average golf fan be about Jordan regaining kind of his status in the world, really?
I mean, I'm always going to be on the side of like, you're pretty special to have won three majors by the age of 25 or 6 or whatever he was. And I don't think you lose it like that quickly. But I do think there's a world, Carson, in which, like, and this sounds insane, right? Like, this sounds crazy. I think there's a world in which Jordan Spieth has won his last major championship. I don't think that's actually going to play out like that. But I don't know. I mean, this time last year I was buying all the Jordan Spieth stock, and now I've got a bunch of like $1 stock that I don't really know what to do with. I think I'm just going to hold on to it until like the ship goes completely down. But if you look at, so he hasn't played so far in the 2019-20 season, but if you look at last year, tee to green, he finished 157th. And on the PGA Tour. And the crazy part about that, he finished second in putting. He had probably his best putting season of all time, and he didn't really sniff a win, right? So yeah, it's not, if you're a Jordan Spieth fan, there's not a ton of reason for optimism other than the fact that you think he's like an all-time great and that he can't get any worse than it was last year.
Well, he's proving he's human, because when he went on the run of majors, it looked like he was on a trajectory to be, you know, Tiger Woods-esque. So clearly he's going through a slump that, you know, most professionals go through. And I wouldn't be selling all my stock just yet, but that is alarming that he had his best putting season, even better than the remarkable 2015 season that he had as well. There are two exemptions for the Hero World Challenge. Who do you think will get those?
Well, it's going to be interesting because, you know, we have all this talk about like Matthew Wolf, Colin Morikawa. Are they going to be on the President's Cup team as sort of a warm up for the Ryder Cup next year? I know we're going to talk through a little bit of the President's Cup team here in a minute. I don't know. I think Spieth probably gets one of those. Honestly, like I think the way that Tiger and Phil and the guys that like really matter at the top of the food chain, the way that they view him, is the next sort of just like leader of some of those teams. And again, I know this is not the Hero World Challenge is not a team event, but it very much feels like a warm up for a team event, which is the President's Cup the week after. I think that he is viewed by those guys as just standing out from even all of his peers. I think they view him as being pretty special. So I think Spieth probably gets one, and I don't know. I'd love to see, like, I think it'd be cool if one of the young guys got one, like whether it's Hovland or Morikawa or Wolf or somebody like that, just to kind of mix it up. It's like, I don't know. I think that part of it would just be pretty cool if they did that.
I would agree with that. I mean, I would love to see one of the young guns, but I think you're right about Spieth. I mean, he still is one of the biggest names in the sport. So if you're handing out an exemption, that's a pretty good place to start. You've mentioned the President's Cup, and I want to get to, you know, the problem that I guess that Tiger Woods has in picking his captain's picks. But before we do that, I heard you on with Mr. Immelman on the First Cut podcast talking about Kevin Na. I want to talk about this for a second before we get to the President's Cup. Was that not just an exhilarating performance? He's hitting off balance shots, kind of off his back foot. He's staring into the sun. He's fist pumping. He's walking in playoff putts. Like, this was just an exhilarating experience. It kind of, Kyle, I know he's professional, but doesn't it kind of seem like he's like, just the way he plays, he's like one of your buddies who just like caught a heater. That's just kind of what it looked like, did it not? Just the way he was kind of just all over the course and just draining putts to save, you know, shots that really weren't that close to the flag.
When you make 558 feet of putts over the course of 4 days, I would say it's an all-time heater. And like, and Mark and I talked about this, and like, he's obviously, I mean, to win three times in his last 30 events, obviously there's a lot of talent there, but he's also kind of fun to root for. You know, I think you run into some of these guys and the way that they play or their style, you're like, I don't know. I mean, I guess like Bill Haas. Okay. Yeah, sure. Like he's really good at golf, but then you watch Na and you're like, this is kind of fun. Like I can see myself enjoying playing golf with somebody like that. And I think it's cool that the kind of the broader golf world has been turned on to that over the last year or so.
Well, and I'm a sucker for, remember when he was walking in putts and then Tiger did it? Like that was such a great moment. And I'm just such a sucker when he wins. Just, I love it when guys get emotional with their families. I love that. And I love when he speaks Korean to his little daughter as well. It's just, he's easy to root for, and it's easy to tell that his fellow golfers on the PGA Tour just like the guy. So it makes him just super likable, and it was fun to see him win and in the fashion in which he won. Kyle, he's actually kind of played himself into the discussion on the President's Cup captain's picks. And it appears that, that Tiger Woods has a lot of guys to choose from and only so many spots. Just kind of detail the selection process that Tiger's going to have to go through with guys like Kevin Na and Jordan Spieth and on down the list.
Yeah, so a couple of guys that we talked about so far. So the eight guys that have been selected, I don't have it in front of me. I could probably – oh, yeah, I do have it in front of me. So the top eight, Brooks, JT, DJ, Patrick Cantlay, Xander, Webb, Kuchar, and Bryson. So those are your top eight. So Tiger gets four captain's picks, and the problem that I started looking through this, and you start coming up on some guys that you're like, oh, that guy might not be on the team. So I'll run through probably the top, I guess, eight that Tiger's choosing from. So Tony Finau, who finished ninth in the standings. You got Ricky Fowler, who's on every team, every American team in these team events. You got Gary Woodland, who won the U.S. Open. You got Patrick Reed, who has a lot going on because he threw some guys under the bus in Paris last year, but he's also, again, like Spieth, been kind of an anchor for a lot of these American teams and team events. You got Tiger himself, who won the Masters this year, and he can pick himself if he wants to. You got Phil, who's made, I think it's 24 straight American teams in President's Cup or Ryder Cup. And then you got Spieth, who we talked about. You got Kevin Na, who we talked about. And then you got Kevin Kisner, who, I mean, during the match play this year, I think he lost in the finals to Lucas Beauregard. But I remember everybody saying during match play, this guy better be on the President's Cup team, better be on the Ryder Cup team. And yet it looks like guys like him and Na and maybe even Spieth and Phil are going to be out on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I you kind of want Kisner's putter in match play, don't you? I mean, the question is, Kyle, who would you pick if you were Tiger Woods to be on the President's Cup team?
Well, I think you got to go Woodland. I mean, the U.S. Open was only a couple months ago, right? It's not like it happened in like February. It was an all-time year for him. He missed, He finished 10th. So Finau goes 9th. Woodland finishes 10th in the President's Cup standings. And then Fowler was 11th. So I think you got to go to those three. And then it's going to be fascinating because do you go Reed, who finished 12th? Does Tiger pick himself? Does he go Spieth? I think picking Spieth would say a lot about, again, how Tiger and guys like Phil and some of the guys that are in charge of some of this stuff view him. Or do you pick? I mean, I don't think he's going to pick Phil. I don't know what's going to happen. I would probably go Spieth just because I think he's going to be there for the next 15 years, and I think. I don't know. I just think having him on the team I think it's important. I think it matters. You don't have to have the 12 best guys necessarily because you're probably going to roll either way. So I would probably go Finau, Fowler, Woodland, and Jordan Spieth.
Well, this is how I know you're not Tiger Woods. You didn't pick yourself for the captain's picks. I mean, Tiger has said that he's going to take input from himself, from assistants and guys that are going to be on the team. And do you really think that when he goes to look for input, those guys are going to be like, nah, Tiger, don't pick yourself. Pick Kevin Kisner instead. Do you think that's really going to happen?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think you're right. Like, I think Tiger will pick himself. And so, but then, then like, is Woodland not on the team? Is Fowler not on the team? I mean, it's just... And I think this is going to be even more fascinating this time. Well, I guess in 9 months from now, right? Whenever they're trying to figure out the Ryder Cup team, because there's going to be guys that are. I mean, this list of American golfers it's kind of unbelievable in terms of like who's, and you know, if Phil wasn't Phil, he wouldn't be on this list, right? He hasn't finished in the top 10 since February. And he hasn't played well at all, but he is Phil. And you just wonder when that last free pass is coming in terms of team events. So I don't know. I'm fascinated to see. I think the picks are, I want to say beginning of November. So yeah, I think it'll probably be Finau, Fowler, Woodland. And yeah, I guess Tiger picking himself or Spieth or I don't know. But then Patty Reed sitting at home watching a team event. I mean, how's that going to go?
Yeah, I think Reed has certainly played himself into the conversation where he probably deserves to be on the team. I wonder how much with all of the drama he's taken himself out with that aspect. And I don't think Jordan Spieth would expect to get picked with where his game's at. As great of a story as Kevin Na's been, as much as he's won, you know, 3 wins in his last 30 appearances, I get he could be in the conversation, but he's kind of along the same lines as Spieth, and where his tee to green game is just being saved by his putter, to where that doesn't tend to hold up well in this event. So I think I'm agree with you. I think it needs to be Woodland, Fowler, Finau, and then I think Tiger's going to take himself. I mean, as much as Kisner fits this format, as well as Reed's played, obviously Phil doesn't deserve to go. I think that's going to be the four that go. And I think there's less than a 1% chance Tiger doesn't pick himself.
Can you imagine Tiger picking Phil instead of himself?
Yeah, like that world does not exist. It does not compute. So it's going to be interesting to watch, and I can't wait to watch. The President's Cup's going to be a lot of fun. But we're going to talk more about the Houston Open coming up in just a second. But first, let's hear from our sponsors.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, welcome back. Kyle Porter still with us on the First Cut podcast. Kyle, we got a not necessarily a star-studded field for the Houston Open, but we have Henrik Stenson playing. What are your thoughts on the Houston Open field and Henrik Stenson?
That about sums it up, right? This is a tough scene. Brian Harman has the second best odds to win this golf tournament, which is never something that you want to see. I mean, so I ranked the field. Carson, this is how I rank the field. I guess Stenson number one. He's the 9-1 bet. He's the favorite. The second favorite, like I said, is Harman. But I've got Russell Henley 2. I've got Scottie Scheffler 3. Daniel Berger 4. Cam Champ 5. Harman, Harris English, Luke List, Bo Hostler, and then a guy named Lanto Griffin. Those are my top 10 guys for the Houston Open. Your thoughts? Oof.
I need the Googles to figure out who some of those guys are. That's where I'm at with this field. But obviously Henrik Stenson's the class of this field.
Yeah.
And he made news this week, Kyle. He retired the old 3-wood that has done him so well, which I guess you reach a certain point with a golf club, right, where you've worn it completely out. Technology's a little dated, but he bagged it.
He said the face was like caved in. I think he realized this during the playoffs or something, and you're like, yeah, bro, it might be time. So I think he's still going to hit a 3-wood as much. It's just not going to be the one that we've always seen him with. But, yeah, I mean, look, like, there's only 2 top 50 guys in this field. He's one of them. He's actually played pretty good golf. He hasn't missed a cut, I think, since, like, March or something. He started off the year really poorly. Like, he missed a bunch of cuts on the European Tour. He wasn't playing well. Then he finishes top 10 at the U.S. Open. Has a pretty good summer. Hasn't won, but he's been really, really consistent. He always plays well in Houston. I think it's, you know, I wrote this, but it's been a while since I've seen somebody be a single digit favorite at 9-1 and then nobody else better than 20-1. Like, he's so big of a favorite because there's not really anybody else in the field that's as good as he is playing this event. So it's kind of a bummer for the Houston Open. I know they're really excited about moving this event or they're really excited about the new kind of management of this event. It's a group with the Houston Astros that kind of took it over. Joel Beal wrote a really good piece on Golf Digest about kind of the future of it. They're taking it to a new course next year. Brooks Koepka's involved with kind of helping out with designing this course that they're taking it to next year. But this is definitely a purgatorial year because it's not a pretty year in terms of field strength.
why is he the only real big name playing in this event?
Well, I think you got a lot of guys in Italy, right? So the European Tour, it's part of their Rolex series. So they're playing in Italy this week, and you've got, I think there's 9 top 40 guys in Italy. So Ian Poulter wins this event in Houston last year. So normally he would be there as the defending champion. It's very rare that you don't go back to an event the year after you've won it. But Poulter's like, well, you know, the Italian Open, $7 million purse, big deal for the race to Dubai. I'm going to play there. Justin Rose is playing there. Francesco Molinari's play there. So it's just it's an unfortunate spot right before the Asian swing on the PGA Tour that a lot of the bigger names are going to. And you're just, it's a really bad spot for guys to play in this tournament.
Did you see the video of Ian Poulter, his first win in the Italian Open? Did you see the throwback video on social media?
No, was he wearing his golden shirt that like shimmers in the sun?
Not the video I saw, but he did have like sideburns that were shaved. Like, it's hard to describe, honestly. It's like a sideburn that's a thin, pointy line that like goes just under his eyes. Like,
yeah. I have seen that.
It's bizarre. I mean, he's changed his look over the years, but I'll say that.
Thankfully.
Okay, so I guess Houston Open. I assume you're going to pick Henrik Stenson to win, but let's hear your winner, your top 10, and your sleeper for the Houston Open.
Yeah, I've actually got Stenson top as my top 10, locked for top 10. I've got Harris English as my winner. He had a weird year. He finished outside the top 125 in the FedEx Cup. I think he played the Korn Ferry Finals to kind of get back into the PGA Tour. But since then, so he let me pull up his starts this season. So he goes Korn Ferry Tour Championship, finishes T26 there. And then he starts at Greenbrier to start the PGA Tour season 2019-20. He finishes T3. He goes Sanderson Farms. He goes T6 there. So back-to-back top 10s to start the year. And then he was T33 in Napa at the Safeway Open a couple weeks ago. He's hitting the ball a lot better than he has been. I like him. I think I've watched him play not a lot, but, man, up close, he is an unbelievable ball striker. And he's just struggled with it for whatever reason over the last couple of years. So I've got him winning. And then I've got who is my sleeper? My sleeper is Lanto Griffin, my guy.
What are his odds?
50-1.
Well, the thing about this tournament is your long shot has like fourth best odds. To
I mean,
40-1 is like, you know, Keegan Bradley. It's 40-1.
Yeah, I know. Lanto Griffin, he's got 5 straight top 20s worldwide. He's really played well so far on the PGA Tour. Not a lot of people know about him, but. He's an exciting young player, and I think it's a bad field, right? But it's also an opportunity for a young player, for somebody without a ton of experience, to get an early win and to kind of position themselves nicely for the next year.
Yeah, I thought about that when I was in Augusta, seeing Kevin Tway playing the Masters. You know, he won the Safeway that year. It's really a great opportunity, these early events where the fields are not as strong, for these guys to kind of play their way into the Masters. I mean, it's a great opportunity for those guys. I'm with you. Like, I think it's almost too obvious to pick Henrik Stenson to win, but he'll be my lock for a top 10 just because he's, you know, obviously the most elite player in the field. I'm going to go with Keegan Bradley to win. I mean, he has 40-1 odds too, so I guess that qualifies as a sleeper, but I'm going to go with Keegan Bradley to win. Eight starts of cash, top 15 or better, including three top 10s. I mean, the guy's playing really good golf, and he's kind of in that, he's not as good as Stenson, obviously, just in terms of pedigree, but he's much closer to him than a lot of guys in this field. So I'm going to go with him to win, and he's played well lately. So I'll go with that. And then, who was my sleeper? I had a really good sleeper here, you know, who seemed to escape my mind. here I go. These are great odds. How about Johnson Wagner at 125-1?
Okay.
He's the 2008 champ. He was second in 2015, and he shares the course record of 63.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
I get 125-1 odds with that kind of horse for the course. Sign me up.
A horse for the course who won it over a decade ago, back when Mike Gundy didn't have a mullet.
It's like you get back on those hallowed grounds and it all comes back to you.
Yeah, Johnson Wagner's missed three of his last four cuts on the Corn Ferry and the PGA Tour. So.
Well, I'm going super sleeper. How about that?
I mean, you're right, though. The thing about it is, like, everybody in the field's a long shot other than Stenson. Like, that's just how
I mean, I could have gone way higher on the list here. I mean, they're all long shots based on 40-1 or worse.
I saw our guy, Bo Van Pelt, is in the field for the second straight week. So Bo Van Pelt was hurt for basically like 3 years. He had a shoulder thing. It was like this long ordeal. And he goes out and he played pretty well at in Napa a couple weeks ago. He is, 500-1 to win this week.
Whoa. And that's a super sleeper.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Rich Beem is 1,000-1. Rich Beem, 3-time winner on the PGA Tour, obviously won the PGA Championship. So, again, it's an eclectic field in Houston, but should be fun. I think we're going to end up with a guy who is younger, who is somebody like a Scotty Scheffler type. Who Scotty Scheffler was Korn Ferry Tour Player of the Year that got named on Wednesday, and he was great at Texas. Somebody like that who we're gonna look at the Masters field in April and be like, oh yeah, Scotty Scheffler won the Houston Open last year. So that part of it'll be fun, and we'll see what happens.
For sure. Well, hey Kyle, I appreciate you letting me fill in on the First Cut podcast. We'll have to see who shakes out at the Houston Open. We're thinking it's probably going to be Henrik Stenson, but who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But I appreciate you letting me fill in with you.
Yeah, Carson, it was great. Good luck with your President's Cup wagering, and I'm sure we'll have you on again to talk about some team events later in the year.
Yeah, we kept our OSU golf references to a minimal, so I think we did pretty well on our first attempt.
Our After Dark pod will just be Victor Hovland and I was going to pick Christopher Ventura for this event.
See, he was almost my long shot. I think he's 125-1 too.
He is, yeah.
He played well in the Corn Ferry. You know, he won a couple events, and this is kind of a Corn Ferry-esque field with the exception of a few names. So, I mean, I think he could do pretty well here.
Yeah, it kind of is. Peter Ewine's 100-1 as well. But no, it was a ton of fun, Carson. We'll do it again soon, and we'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. Talk to you then.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.